Hello and welcome to the Open Systems Media eCast, From an RTOS to an Operating Environment, Enabling Innovation and Differentiation in Embedded Industrial Devices. I'm Kurt Schwader, your moderator, with today's speaker, Michelle Chabroux from Wind River. Today's schedule will consist of about 50 minutes of presentation, leaving 10 minutes at the end of the hour for audience Q&A. Before we begin, I'd like to run down some important features of your viewing console. First is the Enlarge Slides button. This button will maximize the slides to fill your entire screen. The Download Slides button allows you to download and print the slides if you'd like a hard copy to follow along with. The button labeled Forward to a Friend enables you to send an email to someone that will include a registration link to this eCast so they can also attend. The Ask a Question text box enables you to participate in today's event. You simply type your question into the box and submit it using the Submit button. You can submit questions at any time during the presentation. We encourage you to do so early and often while you're looking at the material and the question is fresh in your mind. We'll address as many of these as we can during the closing Q&A, and if you have a question pertaining to the eCast operation itself, you can submit those too, and one of our technicians will be happy to respond to you. There are also two poll questions in today's event. When you see those poll questions pop up on your screen, you simply select the button next to your answer and then select the Submit button. Michelle Chabroux will be presenting to us today. He is a senior product manager at Wind River, where he covers the VxWorks real-time operating system, including its core kernel and a portfolio of industry-specific and technology add-on profiles. An embedded industry and Wind River veteran of over 14 years, Mr. Chabroux has had multiple roles within the company, spanning engineering to technical account management to product management. Mr. Chabroux holds a master's degree in computer science, engineering, and management. Michelle, thank you for being here today, and the floor is yours.
Thank you, Kurt. Thank you, everyone, for joining. So, as I said, today we're going to talk a little bit about VxWorks and, you know, Wind River, obviously, and how the VxWorks 7 RTOS is actually much more than an RTOS, and that's why we dub it kind of an operating environment. However, because of what I do, we're going to focus on industrial applications and the internet, the so-called Internet of Things. Okay, so with that said, today I want to talk a little bit about the challenges and, you know, what opportunities do we see in the near future and maybe in a little more distant future. What in VxWorks 7 can help with industrial applications and, you know, what technologies do apply and, again, how they can help solve some of the challenges we are seeing. And at the end, I want to look at a couple examples around energy distribution, factory automation, and transportation. These are real examples. Unfortunately, I won't be able to name names, but I will try to go around the challenges and what that brings in the best detail. Now we're that, I would like to you, if you do not mind, spend just 30 seconds of your time. Just let us know where you stand in your organization, what you kind of do around your development, so I kind of adjust a little bit the presentation to be more or less technical depending on the need. So please answer this short questions. We have about 30 seconds, and we'll go there. Adapting, I want to make sure we adapt the slides to your roles. Thank you very much. And again, after that, we'll be going right into the meat of the question. So it just needs to be real quick. We're going to look also at the results right after, so you guys also can get a feel of who is on the call and maybe get a feel of where things are today. Okay, I think we had about 30 seconds. Let's see roughly where we stand today. And I'm trying to get that push you so you guys can see. There we go. So most of you are software engineering, which is very good. A bit of hardware engineering and system architecture. Great. Thank you very much for doing that. I really appreciate it. So now I'm going to go back into the actual thing. So there's this thing called the Internet of Things, and admittedly, this is not entirely brand new. It's just that now it has a name. There's been a lot of our customers who've been doing things that are now labeled under this Internet of Things, but not everybody is there. And now it's really becoming something more and more in the main focus, in the main spotlight, right? So, what experts when they look at this market over the next 10 to 15 years, they see a fairly large growth. Actually, enormous growth, you should say, roughly 20% per year. So that's pretty big. And there is an estimate of $14 trillion worth of value there. Mind you, I want to be realistic. This is not $14 trillion worth of software. But it shows that there is tremendous potential. This market in and of itself, well, as I said, is not necessarily new. It's changing, in a sense that it generates new opportunities for our customers, in a sense that there's a transformation in how things are being sold and how they work. Also, it's because of that change, there's potential for also upgrading legacy application, especially when we look at the aspect around connectivity and remote management. So the last thing also that's very important that brings is people now want to know how all the devices are connected, how they work together to get a better picture on where things are and how it goes. Okay? So with that in mind, here's really, when we look at the industrial market, how things are evolving. When I started in this industry, really, devices were devices. You had a robot. If you look at Invensys, for example, they used to manufacture these controllers, and the controller was quote unquote just a controller. That's not to undermine the value, but it was a self-contained element used to control some hardware, provide some diagnostics, and so on and so forth. Now, more recently, there's been some technology changes where we start seeing this consolidation of devices. In other words, if you look at a machine, very often you had, let's say, wave bonders, right? You have the machine that does the bonding, and you had a nice little HMI using most of the time Windows, let's be clear. So we look at this, and now people say, you know what, I have enough hardware and CPU horsepower to put my controller and my HMI in the same box. That's the consolidation of devices. So we kind of start looking at this, and this is one transformation that we see in the industrial devices. Now there's this newer transformation, which almost runs around services. And this type of industry already exists. If you look at your cell phone plan today, my plan is what it is, but I kind of, through the plan, pay for the device itself, the phone itself. And AT&T, Verizon, and others are looking into monetizing and capturing your business by incentivizing you to get a new device. So what we see in the industrial devices now is that some of our customer, while they still do sell the device, let's not fool ourselves, they want to actually add more services, for example, management of the device, remote diagnostics, and you know all the connectivity that goes around the ability to control and prevent failures by preemptively replacing devices, right? So this is the shift that you see in this industry. So now, when we look at software, and you know from the Winrever perspective, and when I look at it, I see that there's mostly three big areas that we as a software company need to address. So on the first one is connectivity. This IoT and revolution, if you will, really is centered on connecting devices together, connecting them to a backend, to a gateway, to something so that at the end there is knowledge to be had around what the device does. So we can get information about all the devices. So that connectivity aspect for me is very important. Then we look also at the security and safety. So obviously security is all over the news today. What Edward Snowden started, triggered a lot of, I don't want to say worries or concern, but most people starting realizing that securing devices is indeed something that is needed rather than that is something we'll think about it because, you know, sometimes we might have some, you know, the will and the time to do it. So that's the security aspect. And I generally lump it with safety. While they're lumped together, there are still two different things. Safety is more, is my device safe? Is the software going to hurt someone if there's a mistake happening that would cause the system to crash and the device to, I don't know, cause a power outage, which will cause somebody to have, you know, in a hospital some problems, right? And finally, we look at how easy it is to manage devices. So we want to look for our devices in VxWorks, how to connect to them, really emphasize on security, safety, and the management aspect of these devices. As I said a little bit earlier, for example, preventative maintenance, there's enough diagnostics built into the device to enable you to figure out it's time to replace the device before the device actually fails. Okay? So in light of that, when I look at safety and security trends, and the reason I want to emphasize a little bit on this is because I spend a lot of time looking into it and what we can do in VxWorks. Around safety, one of the things that's come is we have more and more customers telling us they want to make sure that VxWorks 7 is safe, not because the design is correct, not because we claim VxWorks is safe, not because anybody ever crashed with it, but they want formal standards. They want to make sure that everything is working fine. They want to be also able to modify applications with mixed levels of criticality. For example, user interface in an infusion pump and a motor control of that said infusion pump. Traditionally, these devices were these parts were segregated to make sure there's no possible crash on one end causing the entire system to go down. So we're looking at safety standards, IEC 61508 for industrial, 62304 for medical, 26262 for automotive, etc. In terms of security, so I mentioned a little bit earlier the quote-unquote so-called fear about my device being hacked, but in most places it doesn't really apply entirely yet. But there's also the concept of security around IP protection. We have had, and I have talked to some of my customers who sell medical devices, and their devices got cloned, and the software directly lifted off the flash and put on a clone. While it was working, it was, you know, proper theft. And so if they had any form of encryption or digital signature, for example, they wouldn't have that problem. So that's part of the security aspect. While there's always the hacking part of things, there's also the security around the device itself. Are you sure the software you have is the right one? And over the years and more recently, we've seen some disruptive technologies helping around security and safety. There's much more done in hardware today with, you know, Intel TPM or the Trust Zone on ARM or the security engine on PowerPC architecture. And so you have the hardware provides now more and more to do that, including virtualization. We can also help, you know, silo various parts of your operating system, of your application. Okay? So now the question begs is, well, where do I draw the line? How do I select my software? So there is this classic build versus buy, right? And so traditionally, most people tend to buy the board and the CPU. Well, granted, you can buy CPUs, you can tailor to your needs like FPGAs or even custom CPUs like the one sold by Synopsys, the ARC architecture, which allows you to define your own instruction set, you can go for it and just, you know, buy this and do everything else. Make, you know, your own design off of the reference board, make your own OS, download it off the web. There are lots of free operating systems today. And at the end, do your application. Well, this is great, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's a try to go a little bit higher than this. And for our customers, so that they can focus on what they're really good at, which is whatever application and device they build. Infusion pump manufacturers are not too keen being an operating system maintainer or a board manufacturer. They prefer that to be done. So then we start looking at, okay, I'm going to buy everything from the OS down and the entire operating environment, all of this, and I'm going to be able to focus on doing my application, which is what I'm good at, and this is where you can drive you all the innovation and obviously differentiate from your competitors. Because while I do work for a software company, and I do believe our VxWorks is a great product, a driver is a driver. What matters is really what comes around it. So as a device manufacturer, I do believe most want to focus on what they're, you know, good at in their respective markets. So when I look at the software requirements for industrial devices, because this is what it is all about, I put them in different buckets. And so and this is not just my putting them here. I've worked with our customer, try to gather requirements around what they like, what they don't like, what they see as needs, et cetera, et cetera. So in various buckets, they want it to be modular, they want it to be scalable, because not every device has the same footprint requirements, has the same, you know, CPU performance, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They want it to be safe and secure. We address that. Virtualization, while it's in the list here, is a newer trend. 6 years ago, not everybody cared about virtualization. Having said that, today, it seems to be something that is coming more and more and has a stronger play in the industrial market. Obviously, you want your operating environment to be performant. There's no point in making some real-time application and if this thing is crawling like a bunny. You want, again, to connect. And we see, because of consolidation, when virtualization is not necessarily an option, our customer expect more and more to do their UIs in VxWorks. And obviously, the final one is certification. This is becoming a very important trend, and I'm going to address that in more detail in a few minutes. So when you look at the difference, and this is how we see it, right, an RTOS is an RTOS. It's your basic set of, you know, drivers, middleware, your IDE, and, you know, obviously your kernel. What we're trying to do when we are looking at VxWorks 7 is to go a little bit beyond that. I know it sounds maybe it's a canned message, but I've been at Winter for a long time, and I genuinely believe that this is where we're heading. So there is indeed the VxWorks 7 RTOS, which is really your core package. It's, again, kernel, drivers, middleware, that is true. It is there. But now we're adding more and more vertical profiles, which are sets of software blobs that are relevant to specific industries. I'll give you an example. It is unlikely that a company making digital cameras or TV cares much about Airwing 653. However, if I make an aircraft, there is a good chance that I will care about it. So we try to actually really address vertical markets by providing industry-specific blobs on top of our core. And we also have decided to revive in a very active fashion lots of partnerships with some of our former partners and make this partnership much more than just, oh, you can get the software for such or such company. We are building a system currently that will allow our partners to directly post their piece of software on our website and interact directly with our customers. Okay? So, in order for me to go a bit further, I need to ask you another question. I promise it's the last one. We would like to know what kind of devices you do work on, if that applies, obviously. If you're more around a factory automation, robotics, process control, like companies such as Wonderware, energy generation, transmission, home automation, building automation, transportation, or anything else. So again, if you would entertain me and help me, at the end of the day, I'm not asking that just to be annoying. I want to be able to, when we build our product as a company, I want to be able to make sure we build the right product. I don't want to make sure we build something and then it goes out the door and then it's irrelevant to our customer base. Okay? We're going to give you another few seconds and try to see our results. Okay, very good indeed. Thank you so much. Let's go. So most of you are either not necessarily doing directly industrial, but there's lots of process control and energy. Very interesting indeed. When we speak to the examples, you might find it very relevant, and thank you. So it's all great, all of that. I'm done with the polls, and I'm going to really now look at our products. So I'm pretty sure this is why you're here. All that I've talked so far was just, you know, the introduction. So what about VxWorks 7? So VxWorks 7 was released earlier this year. So we released really first quarter of the year. So it's been out for a while now. We've had extremely good feedback so far, which I feel very happy about. So we've changed really how we package VxWorks. So if you have ever used VxWorks and our products in the past, we used to have these big monolithic platforms, what we call platforms. For example, our platform for network equipment or for industrial devices. And these were pretty much ginormous platform. You get it, and you have everything. We update the platform entirely, and this is how it is. So while it was great from a development engineering standpoint, made our life easier, it was not necessarily great for our customers. So we decided to change that model a bit. So we now have what we call a core platform. The VxWorks core platform is exactly what I referred to in a previous slide, around the kernel, the basic set of middleware, your drivers, your ID, et cetera. What we have decided to do is make a promise, a commitment, is our core platform will remain as is for at least 3 years. For the next 3 years, there will be no API change at the OS level. Nothing is going to change in terms of functionality, and we promise you we're going to support it for these 3 years as it is. So you do not have to worry about whenever next year you're going to release yet another version of VxWorks and it's going to break the stuff that I've done. No. So for 3 years, you're set in stone. You're going to have a fully supported, stable release. Doesn't mean we won't fix bugs. Doesn't mean we're not going to do some changes into the plumbing. But we're not changing anything that is visible to you guys. Now, after these 3 years, we're going to continue to support it for the next 3 years. And beyond these 3 years, so that's 6 years total, you'll be able to get, obviously, any form of premium support to continue supporting it. Okay? Now, around this core platform, and you see this term in technology profile and various profiles. So we have a market-specific profile called the industrial profile that brings a host of middleware that is relevant, or at least we perceive as relevant, to our industrial customers. And that does not include ARINC 653. that does not include some medical documentation. We have a medical profile for that. It's really industrial specific. And now we have this, again, we use the same word as well, profile, the microkernel profile. And I will go in detail around these guys, which is our just very super small add-on piece of technology, this virtualization profile, which is our piece of technology that is, when added to VxWorks, enables virtualization. And we have this security and safety profile. Okay, so all of these can be mixed and matched, and it all sits on top of our VxWorks 7 core platform. From a support perspective, in terms of software deliveries, all of this is nicely packaged with RPMs. So we did not create our own yet another file format. We use the standard RPM format. And our source RPM contains all the data. And each one of these package in VxWorks is actually even made of many of them, can be updated independently. Okay? So functionally, if let's say you have the industrial profile, we can still provide you with an update to the core platform because we've fixed a bug. And I'm not saying it's a bug, but if you had a bug in a core platform, we could still provide an update to that core platform without affecting the profiles you have installed so far. Okay, so now I'm going to look at the details of some of these profiles. So again, as I mentioned, the industrial profile is a collection of middleware. The content of that profile, obviously while targeting industrial customer, is going to evolve over time. So while we have, if you will, the version today that contains a set of middleware, we're going to add more. Things I'm looking at, for example, would be a software PLC stack. We're trying to get that into it. When we're going to get it, I can't tell you. But this is going to be a work in progress. And you will have access as a customer to these evolutions. As long as you're under contract with Winrever, this is something you have access to. Today, we have some safety, security, connectivity, management, middleware, as well as graphics support, so you can actually make your UI. So that makes the bulk of our industrial profile. Okay, now let's look at our safety profile. I think this one is crucial, and it is very, very important to the hardcore industrial customers. So the safety profile is really a transformation of our VxWorks 7 core. If you have been a customer of Winrever for some time, you know that at some point we had a product that we call VxWorks Cert. It was literally VxWorks 6.6, and we went through the exercise of certifying VxWorks 6.6 to 6508, IEC 6508 CL3. From that point on, there was a fork between our mainline product and that certified product. Well, the safety profile, if you will, is the new version of the certified VxWorks. And what has been decided, and I think that's very important, is we're not going to fork the code. So essentially, a VxWorks 7, once we get the certification evidences, the standard product will be identical in the code as the non-certified version, because there will be no difference. It's the same product. Mind you, a subset of VxWorks only is being certified. Part of the subset is this new scheduler. And I think it's important to know that that scheduler is not a change, a radically different way of approaching things. It's more of an augmentation of what the current one does. One of the issues that we see in industrial and safe application is the fact that as a system, as a device manufacturer, you have to prove that every functional block in your system will not interfere with the other one. That's what we call interference-free design. In other words, if I look at the design of a traditional infusion pump, there would be a motor control. There's generally a user interface, and it's generally a communication module. Traditionally, they were segregated to make sure that none of these guys could interfere with the other. With VxWorks, we could always say, look, I mean, VxWorks is designed properly if you do the things the right way, with the right priorities, with the right technical, you know, configuration buttons and options, you can get there. Correct, but you can't prove it. You could just make an educated design and argue around it. We worked very hard with TUV and some of our customer to design a time partitioning scheduler. What it brings into the mix is the ability to lump functions into a time window, a time partition. What that essentially means is that if you have a high criticality application, you can make it run for a certain amount of time, say 20 milliseconds. Once these 20 milliseconds are over, you could have a different criticality type of function run for 17 milliseconds. And then, you know, once these 17 milliseconds are over, you could get a third one or fourth one or, you know, and so on and so forth. And when you're done, you go back to square zero. This is really time partitioning. Mind you, this is on top of our existing system. So whenever you create your system with the various options around priorities, these rules still apply within that time window. What is also great, and we're very proud of it, is that this is a multi-core solution. So that solution works on a multi-core architecture, is not limited to a single core architecture. And I am very, very happy to tell you today that we have a TUV pre-approval, concept pre-approval certificate where TUV in Germany, who is the certification authority for IEC 61508, told us that if we go on as we are today, we will get a rubber stamp of approval for having IEC 61508 certification, SIL 3, for VxWorks 7 with our safety profile. So if you need that documentation, I can provide it to you. Reach out to your account, Winnover account team, and we will make sure that you have access to that documentation. So we have this pre-approval notice, and I'm very happy about this. It was we worked very hard on it, okay? So that's the safety profile. So the safety profile, again, is the safety certification-oriented profile. When I look at security now, switching here a little bit, we have different things that I'm considering. So there are, you know, so again, this is a profile, which means a set of middleware. When I look at security, there are actually five things that are important. And you can tell me, hey, you only put four on the slide. Yeah, because number five is the design. If you design an application and your design does not take into account security, it's not going to help you. It's a little bit like having a nice fancy lock on your door but not using the key to close it. You have the door but you know and a fancy lock, but you don't actually close the door. So the four, if you will, buckets I'm looking at from a software function is booting, operations, how the system runs, data transmission, and data at rest. And I believe that when we provide solution for these four different options, we do have a pretty good security story, right? So boot up, what do we mean by that? Is when you flip the switch, you do want to make sure that the code that's going to run is the code that you expect to run. I mentioned earlier, I had a customer whose software was hijacked. Well, if they had used digital signature, that would have never happened because you can't just lift binaries just like this. You have to have the right things in the system in order to validate your digital signature. Optionally, you can encrypt things. If you encrypt things, it makes it even much harder to reverse engineer and even, you know, do anything to the code like patches or try to hack into it. So that's what we call the boot up thing. So for that, we have designed a secure bootloader, and we now can verify digital signature of VxWorks images, as well as decrypt them optionally. Obviously, you do not have to encrypt. It's a choice. During operation, we still provide that same digital signature decryption functionality for application you might load at runtime. let's say you want to push some functionality, and we have these things that we call DKMs, downloadable kernel modules, or RTPs, real-time processes. You know, if these are binaries, so you can push them, and if they are digitally signed, now they would load. If the digital signature doesn't match, wouldn't load. And we also added a concept of users, a real user login password. I don't want to say like Windows, but yes, like Windows, where you actually have permissions and you can create different levels of privileges for the user. An example would be to have some kind of a super user that can do anything, reboot the target, create files, delete tasks, start tasks, etc. But then you might want to have a field tech. The field tech, the only thing he or she can do is call a certain set of APIs, and that's it. So that's what we see around our operation. And now that's part of our security profile. Around data transmission, we have all the good stuff that you guys would expect, you know, SSL and being able to SSH, IKE, IPsec, et cetera. So this is really the networking aspect. Now, when it comes to data at rest, we have introduced the support for what we call encrypted containers. Some of you may have heard of a product called TrueCrypt. And I know there was a lot of hype around it recently when the guys who made this program said, well, TrueCrypt has been compromised, don't use it, yada, yada. It was a way of kind of telling people, stop using it, we're not maintaining it anymore. Having said that, the foundations for the algorithms they use, like AES or Serpent, 2FH, etc., they're rock solid. So what we decided to do is leverage the TrueCrypt format, the file format for these encrypted containers, and provide support for it in VxWorks. So you can now, if you have any TrueCrypt container, you can actually use them as is in VxWorks. Mind you, that security functionality is as good as the password. If your password is 1234, that's not going to be very helpful. Okay, so moving on to the next profile, the virtualization profile. So if you have been a Winrever customer for a while, you might have heard your account team talk about a product that we call the Hypervisor. Hypervisor no longer is as a product. It's now an add-on to VxWorks and leverages VxWorks by providing that type 1 hypervisor functionality directly on top of VxWorks. So just to give you a little bit of an idea, you have two types of hypervisor, type 1 and type 2. A type 2 hypervisor is what's called a hosted hypervisor, like VMware running on Windows gives you this nice little, you know, user interface into which you could run Linux or VxWorks for that matter, or Android, or, you know, any OS you can think of. That's what we call a type 2, which means you have a full-fledged operating system and you just run an OS within an OS. This is not to dismiss the usefulness of that, but this does not really apply when we want to go real-time, because at the end, when you have these type 2 hypervisors, the operating system that you run into this container is at the mercy of the host operating system. So if Windows decides to do something else, at the time your critical application was running in that Windows type of hypervisor, then your response time would change. So the one that we have in VxWorks is a hard real-time and deterministic, I think that's the key point here, type 1 hypervisor. So it allows you essentially to run multiple OSs concurrently on the same hardware while still keeping hard real-time response in what we call guest OSs. So if you look at your slides, you would have various guest OSs. There is a bare metal, no OS kind of applications. You might have a Linux and its application. You might have Windows, and they all run concurrently on the same system. Our Type 1 hypervisor also provides some functionality around communication, so these various OSs can talk to each other. From a business standpoint, really the idea is to reduce your cost. I talked a little earlier around this Windows plus for the HMI plus a controller using VxWorks, well, you know, you could put them in the same board. Obviously, if you have a PowerPC running Windows, it's not going to be an option because our Type 1 hypervisor is not here to emulate. It's using what we call unmodified binaries. So you take the unmodified binary of Windows and you load it into the system, and our hypervisor will make that binary believe that it owns, I don't know, 2 cores and 2 gigs of RAM and 1 network card, okay? So this is for our hypervisor. Now I'm going to move to our next profile, which is something I'm very excited about again, that we call our microkernel for VxWorks. So there's been some confusion, and I understand why. Our microkernel for VxWorks is not a smaller version of VxWorks. It is its own operating system, and it's not a pet project. It is an OS that is extremely small. It's a full-fledged RTOS with all the goodies that you guys are used to having in VxWorks, which is your message queues, your semaphores, your tasks, even some user space processes, even some things that is called a fiber, which is a different version of a thread. You can look at the technology online, exactly the difference between thread and fiber. It is extremely small. It is multi-core friendly. And by multi-core, I'll even push it even more. It is massively multi-core friendly. You can run it on a 1,000-core system. And I know you might roll your eyes, not a lot of 1,000-core systems. It's true. But we do have customer contemplating and use it on 70-core systems, which, you know, is more realistic today. In terms of footprint, I said it's very small. It is very small. An average size is between 10 and 20 kilobytes. The bloated version with everything, all the fixing, is about 50 kilobytes. And at the smallest, we've run it under 1 kilobyte. And this is not a marketing data. I'm a geek. I can build it. I can run it. I can configure it. This is the full size, including one task. Mind you, it doesn't do much. It just says hello. The stack, the ROM, the text, the BSS, the whole thing. So we go from the smallest sub 1K, kind of, 900 bytes to be accurate, to about 50 kilobytes at the largest, okay? So we see it, the use case we see is to be a companion for VxWorks on a big, you know, big core, small core kind of architecture. Or we can see it as a companion for a connected device where VxWorks is in a big box, and we put our microkernel in a smart sensor, let's say a dimmable ballast, the smart watch, a turbine shaft sensor, you know, all kinds of use cases. But, and when I say massively multi-core, we start seeing a lot of demand from some of our customers to run it in environments for an extremely performant RTOS, where in the past it used just to be a control loop, but now they want a little bit more smart. And because it is small, it has what we call zero interrupt latency. It is extremely efficient. And so customers start to look at it in order to squeeze every last bit of performance they can out of their hardware. Okay? So I am done going over the actual technology bits. So far. So I'm going to look at some use cases. So we have selected three topics around existing customers. Smart grid, and the reason smart grid is because we're getting lots of traction. If you had asked me 3 years ago, I would have said, I don't think smart grid is for us. And I was wrong. It seems that it is for Wind River to help there. So let's look at, when we look at smart grid and smart meters, here's what you have. Smart meters, I live in Southern California, and our meters have been connected for a while. I mean, the meter in my house was changed maybe 3 years ago. I don't remember exactly, but it was changed, and that allows me to pretty much go on a web browser and check my electricity consumption. If I was a professional customer, I would be able to check it every 2 minutes. Today, as a, just a residential customer, it's every 15 minutes. But what does that mean? Does that mean the smart meter is connected? Is it connected to the web directly? No. But the smart meter has now much more smarts in it, hence its name, so that it can connect to a gateway, which is generally a street gateway, which then goes to Southern California Edison's servers, which then in turn present the information to me. So when we look at the use case here, we've had customers interested, and we can put our microkernel in the smart meter. It has enough to be multi-threaded to provide that first line of access, you know, the edge, to the street box. And so on the street box, you would have things like VxWorks 7 with our industrial profile and our security profile as well. It's important to secure that box a little bit. It's not like you can really do anything bad to it. But anyways, it is one of the options. So when we look at the packaging, we try to address the needs of the smart grid with that. Okay? I don't have much time left, so I'm going to look now at the factory automation. We've had a lot of success recently in the industrial, and some of it has been made public, such as KUKA Robotics, which is mostly robots. And we're investigating right now. We're in talk with some company that shall remain nameless, but it's literally factory automation. And companies like Invensys, now Schneider, is also a very good customer. When you look at factory automation, we have our core platform again. This is really the center of everything. And then we can have the virtualization profile, because virtualization does apply in some robots where you do have HMI control at the same time. And obviously, for everything sensor, for everything going, you know, around on the factory floor to do smart automation on the floor, you know, our microkernel profile well adapts there. Okay? And finally, I'm going to talk a little bit about transportation. There's been a lot of talks recently in the U.S. Around transportation safety. There's been quite a few train accidents, and some of them were pretty bad. And so when we look at existing customers as well, they do railroad traffic light controllers. Industrial profile, safety profile comes in the picture, because now they're like, okay, in light of all these problems, maybe we gotta certify a system to some standards. There are railroad standards. There are lots of standards. But again, having an RTOS that right off the bat doesn't necessarily cater to that particular standard, but at least to some others that I consider highly critical, does help a little bit. And again, because some of these things are remotely controlled, remotely accessible, security does play a big play here. Okay? So I believe that I've gone almost over, if not a little bit over, my allotted time. I believe it is time for Kurt to take over. So, Kurt, if you would.
Great.
Again, if you have any questions, you know, put them in the chat, or and we'll start going over them.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. We are now to the Q&A portion. We've got a lot of good questions coming in. So let's just start with POSIX, I guess. So there's a question about, have you extended the POSIX compliance? Can you talk about VxWorks and POSIX?
So extended is a good question. We're trying, so VxWorks was PSE 52 compliance, and VxWorks 7 still is. We are shooting towards PSE 53. Will we get full conformance? I do not know. We are also, this is more of a military thing, looking at the face profile. And so there is an initiative at Winnerver to be a face compliant, which is face is heavily POSIX-centric. So I hope that answers the question.
How about safety integrity level? Is VxWorks safety integrity level certified?
So VxWorks 7, yes, with the security profile, will be at SEAL 3, which is the highest level you can get. So our safety profile, again, available today, it was released on September 19th, if memory serves, and we do have the TUV pre-approval notice on our VxRock 7's safety profile for SEAL 3.
Okay. Do you provide the 6.53-like interfaces in the core safety profile? Examples are sampling ports, queues, partitions, those kinds of things.
No, and that's a good question, and maybe I should have clarified then at the time. So our safety profile is by no means a replacement of a 653 type of system. The 653 systems are really avionics-centric. There is a lot of overlap in what it does. The intent is to be safe and to make sure that various parts of the aircraft do the things the right way. But 653 has very strong guidelines around the APIs and the concept of a partitioning operating system, the partition OS. There's no such thing in our safety profile. So if you do have a requirement around 653, the safety profile is not the right type of product. However, I want to add beyond the 653 that the work we're doing for VxRock 7 CERT, this is not a marketing term, but it's how I call it internally, is going to lead us to have a DO-178C DAL-A certification on top of 650 NOAA CL3.
Okay, great. Question about aviation certification. Is VxWorks certifiable there?
So that's good question, and I guess I just answered it as well. So while our work roadmap is to do 650 NOAA CL3 first, we are right now already embarking on working and leveraging all the work to do a DO-178C DAL-A. So this is further out. While the code base will remain the same, the folks who deal with that type of work know how much documentation you have to do. We're looking at having evidences around DO-178C in 2016. It's going to take us pretty much the entire of 2015, the entirety of 2015, and maybe more.
Okay. A number of questions relating to test management and diagnostics. I want to try to lump them together. Can you just provide an overview of what test management and test diagnostic tools you have available for VxWorks 7?
So that's a good question. I sense a long-time customer here. We used to have a product called test management and test diagnostics. We used to have these products. I don't want to speak too far there because I do not oversee that side of the technology. Again, I'm a kernel and really operating environment person. My understanding is some of the technology in test management is going to make its way in the standard product. That's all I know. So I don't want to make any further speculations here.
Okay. Does the microkernel profile have a safety profile?
That's a very good one, actually. So our intent and my intent is to have our microkernel certified, okay? That's a fact. That is really something I want to do, and Wendover as a company wants to do it as well. Unfortunately, I don't have the resources to do that today. But in light of the size, the footprint of this microkernel, we know it's not an enormous amount of work, but it is still work. So
right.
I know it's a politician's answer. It's a yes kind of answer. So there's not today, but it is our intent to work towards having our microkernel safety certified.
Right, okay. Are there formal certifications for VxWorks in terms of did they go to certification standards bodies, or are these like Wind River internal test rigs that certify or verify the safety certification, or how does that work?
Okay, so we for our 615-08, we work with TÜV, which is this German body that is essentially the authority for industrial certification worldwide. I mean, I worked, with folks at Invensys here in Southern California, and they do also work with TÜV for their certification. Folks at GE do the same thing. So for the 615-08, it is TÜV. However, TÜV is the body that pretty much oversees the documentation, looks at the documentation we provide, and gives us a yes or no, you're missing this, you're doing it wrong, I don't like it, fix it. For 615-08 and for VxRock 7, and actually the 017C, we are doing it in-house. So we have formed a certification office with folks at Winnerva who have extensive experience in the matter. We have our own DER now, a gentleman named Joe Vlad. Some of you might know him. And so we are now certifying and putting that concept of certification in the mind of our engineering group. We have strict guidelines that for new features in VxRock 7 that are worthy of certification, and the USB stack, for example, doesn't fall into that bucket. But for the features and the functionality that is worthy of certification, engineering has to follow the process that are mandated by these various certification authorities, including, the FAA when we do the 017C.
Right. Okay. Great. Moving on to unit testing, and maybe we could throw continuous integration on here. Unit testing of your product to ensure robustness, correctness, and safety. Can you talk a little bit about continuous integration, your piece parts, and how you do the unit testing?
So, I only see the result of it. I want to be honest. We have a full test team, and around VxRock 7, especially the safety profile. I mean, all our products get retested, and I know you might raise your eyebrows and we actually do, and it actually takes a lot of time. So we are, even in order to address the stringent needs of certification, we're ramping up and on the side designing our next generation of test infrastructure to test everything, because our certification process, whether it's industrial or aerospace and type of certification, do require that we can point to a line of code and say which test verified what this line of code does. So we're doing extensive testing. Again, how exactly it is done, I cannot speak to it because I only see the outcome. There's the test team, and they give me the results.
I see. And in terms of certification and configurations, there's a lot of stuff you can add and remove from VxWorks. So the body of code that you have certified, what are the implications of certification if someone adds an application to it, adds a device driver to it, takes an I/O system out of it? How does that affect the certification?
That's a good question. So it will depend. Industrial certification is a little bit more lax in the removing a thing. When you remove stuff, if you can do an impact analysis saying what you remove is not going to affect the rest of the system. For example, I'm making it up. You say, I'm not going to use semaphores ever, and we know it's never used in VxWorks. By the way, it's not true. But if you do that and you say, look, it's a piece of code that's never used, it's got no impact, you can prove it. For DO178C, it's a little bit more complicated because when you certify the system, you certify the system as it is. You fly what you test what you fly. So you want to make sure that if you ever change something, technically under a DO178B or C kind of framework, you will have to recertify. The extent of that recertification is unknown to me because, again, I'm not a DER. I'm not the experts. We have folks at Winnerva who know that very well, and that they could ensure that better than I do. But I can tell you that it would involve more work.
Right.
That's just a fact.
Okay, there was a request for you to reiterate what you said about the face compliance in VxWorks.
Yes. So we're looking towards having what we call a face profile, which is going to be An add-on doesn't necessarily mean we're just adding. Sometimes it's removing or replacing. So there's going to be a face profile. There's a face profile in the works. I'm not the product manager for that piece of technology, so I can't tell you more than just the fact that we're going to have one.
Okay.
When I just don't know.
Okay, great. Unfortunately, that brings us to the end of the hour here. I want to thank Michelle for sharing your insights on utilizing RTOS operating environments for embedded industrial innovation. We at Open Systems Media in Wind River want to thank you, the audience, for attending and contributing a lot of excellent questions remotely. This eCast will be posted online at the URL shown on your screen within 24 hours, and an audio-only podcast version will also be made available there. You can do a web search with the keywords embedded, space, e-cast, and find all of Open Systems Media eCasts available for download as MP3s. Thank you for attending, and have a great day.